We are going to finish off what we started last week. If you were here last week, you will notice that we did finish halfway through the text in the book of Luke and chapter 15. So if you could turn there, please, and we'll finish that off this morning. So Luke 15, do a quick recap on where we got up to, and then we'll seek the Lord's face and his word this morning to minister to our hearts on this vitally important topic of forgiveness. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and the praise. We thank you that you are such a good God to us regardless of our circumstances, but it's always a great time to praise you when we receive your blessing, and we look forward to what you have to teach us this morning through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 15, last week we launched into this very well-worn passage, and we zeroed in here on the star. That's the way I referred to him, as being the star of the passage, being the Father, first mentioned in order of importance. We looked at his character. We looked at the character of the Father in response to outright rebellion from one of his sons that he had truly loved and had invested so much in. We looked at the God who gives, the God who waits, the God who runs, and the God who celebrates. And to bring us up to speed where we are up to in this text, we need to remember the shock that happened in those earlier verses. The shock of the fact that the son had so rudely gone to the father, not even being the eldest, and demanding everything from the father and wishing that his dad was dead. The father took his inheritance. He did the numbers as we looked. He divided it into three. He took the two parts and put it aside for the elder brother. He took the other part and he put that before the younger brother, and he said, "All right, sons, there it is." And we discovered last week, of course, that the elder brother did not take his two parts right away, but the other son grabbed his cash and headed off in a very short period of time. Verse 13 says, "And not many days after, he took everything that he had and he headed off." We also looked at the fact that the father had given the son what he wanted. Would have shocked all of those around him. Would have shocked the household. I asked the question of the fathers in the room, what would you do if one of your teenagers came to you and said, "All right, Dad, pay up right now. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I'm not even going to thank you for your investment in my life. Just give me my money as if you were dead and I'm out of here." And we say, "Well, you know what? Our response may not have been the same." Probably will not be. Would not be. We'd probably have a thing or two to say to that son. But the shock was that the father gave his son what he asked for. We also considered the fact that often God gives us what we want. He knows the things that will also undo us. But we also know that the Father's intention was reconciliation. And so the title last week of our message was Rebellion to Restoration. This morning we have Safe and Sound. Safe and Sound. We looked at the word fain when the son was looking at the pig slop and he was fain. He was fain to have filled his belly. And we looked at that word around the meaning of that word, the fact that he was absolutely looking with great desire at that slop. That's what he had come to. His heart had gone from the very best in his father's home, and his heart now wanted that slop. And most likely he wasn't even allowed to eat it, because it says no man helped him. No man helped him. He formed an agreement with a citizen of that country, but we know he came to the point where he realized that he was wrong. He had sinned before his father. He had sinned before heaven. He broke his agreement with the world, and he returned to his father. We saw the father was watching out, saw him from afar, and ran to him. We considered the great celebration that was just about to start. And so we come now to verse 21. Actually, we'll just come in on verse 20, just to give us a nice run-up here into our text. So Luke 15, verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. 24, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry." You know, when you have family gatherings to celebrate something, ever had a member of the family that's not quite with it, you know, at that celebration? Maybe they're sitting off the side, they're looking a little bit sad. No pointing fingers this morning, okay? And you know the one where there's just something not right. They're sending that vibe of, it doesn't matter about today's celebration. There's something, I've got a bee in my bonnet, there's something wrong with me, or there's something going on in my life, and I'm just not celebrating today. Even any attempt of a smile while singing happy birthday to you, you can tell there's just something not right. They cannot be encouraged at that time to focus on the person in the celebration. Nobody can do anything right during this celebration. The whinging starts. It started too late. The cake is the wrong flavour and shape. The candles don't all match. Party poppers are too loud. Their favourite flavour of fruit juice is not on the table. That's a big one. Their gift isn't opened with fanfare. Everyone needs to understand how they feel, because their own heart is the centre of attention rather than what the family is celebrating. Maybe you've been that person. Maybe you found yourself with a hard heart at a celebration, and frankly, it's just a chore to want to lift your joy. Well, that attitude can slip in very quickly and can change our view on even the warmest of celebrations. And we find ourselves not being able to even rejoice with the saints when God does amazing things. But you know what? There is something that can get us all up in arms so very, very quickly. And here it is. It's when someone else gets an unjustified reward. You know what I mean? It's when someone else gets a credit or a recognition, or they get rewarded and you know right down in your heart they just don't deserve it. And that anger starts to well up. And you think, if only people knew the truth, right? If only they knew. You want to be the one that's the whistleblower on that individual to make sure that they get their just desserts. They don't deserve this kind recognition. Well, that's, of course, where we're going this morning. We just hate it when folks receive credit for things that aren't theirs. They get rewarded when they, quite frankly, need to be judged. And that, brethren, can be our attitude very, very quickly towards each other. We're going to see that from the attitude of the older brother. And you've heard it before, but we need to be reminded this morning. Verse 24, the father gives the reason for the celebration. Okay? The reason for the celebration. This my son was dead and is alive again. Have you seen family members written off before because of the mistakes that they've made? Have you seen family members rejected? Perhaps it may not happen too much in our culture, but it certainly happens elsewhere, especially when they trust Christ, right? Rejected. They're written off as being dead to the family. But here you see the son, one of the consequences of the son's actions here is that he was dead to the family. His actions were self-prescriptive, but you see the father is saying he's alive again. He is alive again as if it hadn't happened. He was lost and he's found. So continuing on with the theme from the previous two parables, and he's talking to the Pharisees. The father has gained something that is very precious to him. My son was dead and he's now alive. You see, everyone in that family had been hurt. Everyone in that family had been heartbroken. They had all had something sensitive ripped away and torn away from their lives by the actions, by the words of this rebellious son. And that's the way it is, isn't it? When someone turns their back on God, they think, no, I'm responsible for my own actions. It doesn't hurt anybody else. What a lie. There are always consequences and hurt that flows on to those people around you. And that hurt is still in the home. That emotional carnage is still very, very fresh in the minds of the family. This hurt, brethren, is something that we need to understand here because it cannot be removed. The pain and the memories are fresh. The wounds are still deep. And when people hurt us on a scale that ranges, say, from unintended reactions through to spiteful accusations, through to even abandonment and outright abuse, when people do that to us, the pain does not go away with an apology. The memories do not flee, and the trust takes a while to rebuild as the repentance in that individual's life is borne out, as it materializes, as it is demonstrated in the reversal of behavior and the humble, broken character. Oh, it takes a while to heal, even with an apology. But you see, that's where God offers us all the help that we need. His grace is even sufficient to help heal the scars of hurt when someone else offends you, rebels against you, falsely accuses you, or even abuses you. You see, with forgiveness comes joy. Without forgiveness, there is bitterness. If you want to sow the seeds of bitterness into your heart and reap the fruit of having unforgiving attitudes in your life, if you want to reap that, then withhold your forgiveness when someone apologizes. You see, the father here declares his forgiveness. I want you to look at the order here in verse 24. He says, this is the reason for the celebration. My son was dead, he's alive again, he's lost and he's found, he's forgiven, right? What comes next? And they began to be merry. So once the father had declared, the head of the home, family, I've accepted him. He's forgiven. He has apologized. He has a contrite heart. He has repented of his sin. He now has my forgiveness. I declare that to my family. And then the merriness starts. This word merry here means in a good frame of mind. Of course, rejoice, make glad, be merry to rejoice. In a good frame of mind. And so the family was able to be in a good frame of mind as around to this son and begin to celebrate what the father was already feeling when the father had declared him forgiven. And so the father set the tone in the home. The father set the tone for the family, and the family followed that example of forgiveness. He's welcomed his boy home. He's declared that his son is now restored, and the merriness starts. And our position before the Lord this morning, as the family of God, is to follow the example of the Father that he has set regarding forgiveness. He has shown you and I how to forgive. The question is, are we being obedient and following that example? He has compassion, not condemnation. He does not have what we called it last week, contemplation. Is I'll think about forgiving. But he has charity. But I must point this out, very, very clear, that the Father does not have tolerance for the sin. Forgiveness is not just turning your eye and saying, oh, you know, they're doing the wrong thing, I forgive them. No. We talked about that last week. For there to be forgiveness, there needs to be confession and repentance. A breaking of that agreement with the world. But then the older brother has a tantrum. Let's go to the action in the field. Verse 25. And his elder brother was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing. And called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And that's where we get our title from this morning. Safe and sound. No other is a place in the scriptures do we have this phrase, safe and sound. And we'll look at that in just a moment. The brother says, what's with the celebration? Okay, he can hear the music. Now, I want you to, he doesn't see it, he hears it. He hears the music and the dancing. Now, for those of you who have seen our the recent teaching around the music principles, in that word dancing could also mean stamping or marching, right? Or clapping, right? There could be some action going because the brother is hearing this celebration. He says, what's with the celebration? It's been a while since Dad's been really happy. The servant says, well, great news here. Your brother is home. Your dad has received him safe and sound. Or like this, your brother is of good health. He is well. He is of sound health. He is of sound mind. He's a changed young man. And the father has received him back in that condition. He's okay. He's actually nice to be around for once. He's a changed guy down there. Too much for the older brother. Verse 28, and he was angry. Right there, children, right? He's having a tantrum. He's out in the field, stamping his feet up and down, wailing and throwing his arms around saying, that's not fair. That's not fair. Do you have that's not fairs in your house? It's not fair, Dad. How come he gets that? Or how come she gets that? They don't deserve it. I do. He's having a tantrum. He's got a I don't want to going on. I'm not going in there. I'm not going in to celebrate with my... He doesn't even call him his brother. Later on, he says to his dad, he's your son. Can't bring himself to that emotional connection. You see, he's the one in his own mind that had done right. He's the one that didn't take his two-thirds of inheritance that was offered by his father. He stayed home. He made the right decision. And of his own righteousness, he screams out to everybody around him, "It's just not fair." And you know what? He's 100% correct. It's not fair. His brother does not deserve forgiveness. He doesn't deserve to be home safe and sound. And actually, if we're really honest about it, and maybe we've had those thoughts in our own heart about someone else, his brother probably would have preferred to hear news that something had befallen his brother down in the city. "Oh, brother, we've got some bad news. Your younger brother is of grave ill health as a result of his decisions. Or your brother has had an accident. Or your brother is no longer with us." Maybe this older brother would have preferred to hear this bad news. Serves him right. That'll teach him. You see, that'll set a good tone and a good example for everybody else. You see, you do that. If others don't behave like I do, then they pay the consequences. And it's absolutely shocking that the father would take the son back. But you see, Jesus is giving this parable to the Pharisees. And that slams home to you and me that although we are absolutely guilty, we're guilty as sin of our rebellion towards God. And even though that is the fact, we have a God who gives, who waits, runs and celebrates, and forgives. So here's the thing. You're sitting here this morning. You've heard the question before. If you count yourself this morning as a saved one, as one who has been washed clean, has seen the penalty for your sin, has gone to the cross, the burden's been unloaded, then brethren, you have been taken back by the Father. Totally undeserving. But praise God for it. Amen? Praise God for it. Skip out of here this morning with that knowledge that despite our own rebellion, we're safe and sound. Well, the brother, he's outside. He's refusing to go in. He's angry. He's actually, the way I like to see it is, he's out there kicking rocks. He's out there throwing stones and putting the boot into the chooks and chasing the goats around, and he's saying, "Where's that fatted calf? I'll even kick that one." "Oh, Dad's taking that one to the barbecue." We would say that he is absolutely spewing. And he can't wait to give his father a piece of advice. His father is so far off the planet on this. His father has made a critical mistake. His son deserves the law. "Dad, you're in charge of the law here at home. What are you doing?" And so we come here to the brother's comparison. Three quick points. The brother's comparison, first of all, what does he do here? He says in verse 29, and he answering, verse 28, yeah, but he was angry, but therefore he came his father out and entreated him. He said, "Son, what's going on? Why aren't you coming in?" Verse 29, and he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I." Notice the number of times "I" is in this verse. I. "Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, and I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, you gave him the fatted calf." The brother's comparison, you see, he makes the mistake that we often make, and that is comparing ourselves to others, comparing ourselves to brothers and sisters in Christ, and he decides that he is more deserving of his father's love and attention than his younger brother is. You see, he is the Pharisee in the temple that looks at the publican and says, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like him. I'm glad I'm not like this publican. It is true. It is true, brethren, that it is a blessing to have not fallen into gross sin and to be bearing the scars. But there is a warning that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And so before the Father, we all need forgiveness. Forgiveness reflects God's character, and bitterness reveals your lack of character. Forgiveness is not letting someone off for wrongdoing. It's copying what God does in response to confession and forsaking what he's done for you. So the brother makes the comparison, the mistake of a comparison. The next thing he does is we see the brother's elevation. Note the tone and the language of that verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Dad, I'm pointing the finger at you. What on earth are you doing? Have you lost it? Have you forgotten how much he's hurt you? And yet, in response to his confession and his repentance, you offer him forgiveness? That doesn't make sense. Of course it doesn't. Doesn't make sense to us either, because that's not in our own hearts, in our sinful hearts. And so the brother elevates himself now above the father, and he's now lecturing his dad in the field. Do you reckon there were some awkward feelings in the house as people were looking out in the window, seeing this, that, and kicking and all this sort of stuff, and the father nodding his head and listening? And the circumstances here are bringing out the true heart of the older brother. Who thinks that he's in much better shape than his forgiven brother inside. But alas, his heart is hard. Even though he has not grossly strayed like his brother, he has still erred. And he now blames his father. He misses the celebration. And he withholds the kindness of forgiveness to his repentant brother. And then the third thing we see here is the brother's accusation. Dad, you are the one that has made the mistake. I blame you. You've got the wrong son in there. Why, he should be out here. And I should be in there. We should all be looking out at him saying, we'll get to forgiving you eventually. We're going to put you on probation first. We'll see if you can earn our trust and our forgiveness. Of course, the father responds in a loving way. And he says, verse 31, he says unto him, Son, calm down. Son, thou art ever with me. I know that you've not strayed from home. I know that you have not gone and grossly sinned like your younger brother. I get that. And all that I have is thine. You see, the 2/3 that's left is his inheritance. But verse 32, the father says, it was meet that we should make merry. It's appropriate. It's appropriate to have the right frame of mind to be rejoicing and to be glad because I've got back what was lost. Son, you've missed the point. Let's cut right through all of the misunderstandings, Let's cut through all of the things that can distract us. Let's cut through everything here, son. And the fact is that your heart is not attuned to mine. Because if you were, you would have been down there, gazing afar off and running to your brother with me. You see, forgiveness, brethren, is desperately sought and desperately required for us to be loving each other like Christ loves us. Oh yes, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. He's getting stuck in them. I love that throughout the New Testament here that the Sadducees and the Pharisees get to the point where they can't even ask any more questions because of the wisdom and the discernment that the Son of God offers in answering their trick questions. And there's no answer here for us but to say, I see it. The Heavenly Father has set the example and has set the tone. He has declared his forgiveness. And that's what we need to do in mimicking our walk with him. The Good Shepherd has a right to claim them as his sheep. You see, if the Pharisees truly loved God and truly were faithful, then they would rejoice in the things that God rejoices in. And brethren, if we truly love God, then we will rejoice in the things that God rejoices in. That father, he answered the son's repentance, but he also answered his needs. Did you see what he did for him earlier on? You know, he was starving, right? So he gave him the very best. He went and grabbed the fatted calf. He gave him the best food. What else did he give him? He would have come home in rags. He gave him the best robe. He put a ring on his finger to remind him of that belonging to the family. He put shoes on his feet. And brethren, when we came to that point where we trusted Christ, he gave us all that we needed. He gave us the robes of righteousness from his son. And he took from us the filth and put it on his son. See, the father, he gave the son exactly what he needed to remedy his plight. And God did that exactly for us and remedied our plight before him. He gave you and I his very best. And did we deserve it? Not one bit. Not one bit. But alas, we can claim this morning, we are his children and the sheep of his pasture. We cannot forget his gift of righteousness. And so as we come down here to close, we need to remind ourselves again of what we looked at last week with that definition of the word prodigal. And we noted last week, it doesn't appear anywhere here in the scriptures. And that the word meant wasteful. Wasteful. You know, despite the amazing position of equipping us without thinking about the amazing position that God has placed us in with blessing us with so much, the angels of heaven must sometimes be in awe as to how quickly we dismiss it and waste the things that God has given us. Maybe over last week and this week you're thinking, yeah, that's a great passage and it's a great blessing to go back over there, but I'm not like the son. I'm not like that son. Man, he was a bad kid, that guy. I'm not like that. You may even say this morning, oh, well, you know what, I'm not like the older brother either. You know, I think I'm going pretty good with my forgiveness stakes if I look at the list. I haven't done all those things constantly. But I say here this morning that even for myself, we're all prone to the weakness, just like we're all prone to weakness, just like these characters. You may not be a fully fledged prodigal ripping through your character and virtues as at a rate of knots, slipping down that slope, but don't be fooled. You may even be a part-time prodigal or a casual prodigal. You may be a recovering prodigal or I trust this is not the case, you may be a planning prodigal. If you're entertaining the thought, or even planning on how I can leave my home, or how I can walk away from God, the slippery slope has already started. Well, regardless of all of the excuses in the world, maybe the past, maybe even the present, God says to you this morning that you cannot serve two masters. Perhaps this morning you need to experience and be reminded of the celebration of heaven, clearing the accounts with God and the guilty conscience to confession, repentance and forgiveness. You know, life is so much more pleasant and has such a great positive expectant outlook when the heart is clean and your walk with God is fresh. You long for more of what God can offer and you are satisfied with what He offers, and you don't contemplate the path of the prodigal. Now, the Lord longs this morning for us to be aware of our true position before Him. And as we come down to this finish, this morning, regardless of your heart's condition, God discerns where you are at. God discerns what we need to hear this morning. Yes, He will not tolerate our sin, but He longs to forgive us. And He longs for us to come under conviction and to see that we are desperate for deliverance. He longs for us to admit that we're wrong. He wants us to change our mind about our sin and take it to Jesus for forgiveness. It's readily and available and the price is already paid. You know, A.W. Pink said this. He said, Christ comes with a blessing in each hand, forgiveness in one and holiness in the other. And when you come to that point, there is no point in doubting the work of God on your heart. Sometimes our doubts can trouble us about whether God is able to forgive. Sometimes our doubts can come, has God forgiven that thing in the past, even though I have confessed and I've repented? Maybe we even doubt our own heart of being able to forgive someone else of what they have done to us or done to others. But God is faithful. He's such a powerful God. Nothing can get in the way of His forgiveness. Will you allow it to fill and to replenish your life? If God is working in your heart this morning about being forgiven, or maybe even forgiving someone else, maybe someone's name comes to mind when I say that this morning, don't hold back. Take it to Him in heartfelt, genuine prayer this morning. And He will enable. That's what we need today. I wonder, are we safe and sound in our relationship and our walk with God? What a blessing it is to count ourselves as children of the King. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this reminder. We thank You, Lord, for Your forgiveness and how You've cleansed us. And Lord, may we be reminded truly, Lord, of Your love for us. And we thank You for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.